Hello, everybody, and you're very welcome to our Coping with Christmas podcast. It's going to be available on video as well. Delighted that you could join us, and we hope that you get something from the chat that we're going to have around how to cope with Christmas. So, just to introduce, my name is Claire Flynn, and I'm part of the Mental Health Promotion Team at Mental Health Ireland. And I'd like to introduce my co-panelists, Joe Donahue and Cillian Keane, and they'll introduce themselves in just one moment. Just want to let you know where you can get this podcast. So you can download it as an audio, or you can watch it on a video on our Mental Health Ireland website, where there are loads of other resources, which we will refer to in a little while as well. But let me get back to our other panelists. So we have Joe Donahue. Joe, would you like to say hello and introduce yourself there, please?
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks, Claire. Absolutely delighted to be here. So I'm the National Development Manager for Programs here at Mental Health Ireland. Been working here for about 4 years, and I support the Mental Health Promotion Team, the Training and Education Team, and the Fundraising and Corporate Engagement Team. So that's just some of my
Very
time.
good. Fantastic. Looking forward now to having a chat. And we also have Cillian Keane. Cillian, do you want to say hello and introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, thanks, Claire. Yeah, so my name is Killian and I am the development officer working in the Midwest region. So I cover Clare, Limerick, and North Tipperary. So in the role since January, really enjoyed it all year. And yeah, looking forward to this discussion as well, Claire. So thanks a million.
Yes, exactly. So let's get straight into it. Joe, I just want to ask you. So I did refer, we do have a Connectmas campaign, Mental Health Connectmas campaign. Can you explain what that campaign is for us, please?
Yeah, I suppose Mental Health Ireland kind of does, we're doing what we do best. We kind of looked at times of, I suppose, times where people need more support throughout the year. And one of those times is Christmas for lots of different reasons, and lots of them we're going to talk about. So we developed a campaign, a mental health promotion campaign called Connectmas, which essentially what we're trying to do is look at some of the pressure points that people have at this time of year, right? And they can be everything from loneliness, financial pressures, like family dynamics, overeating, all those kind of things that happen that can cause stress and anxiety for people.
Yeah.
What we've done is we've developed some resources to support people, so information. So this podcast is one of them, which is great. So this is going to go out around Christmas and might just give people a little bit of hope and a little bit of tips and tools how to manage some of those pressure points. We also are running two webinars in the month of December, and we have some resources on our website as well, which again we'll talk about. But it's also an opportunity for Mental Health Ireland to kind of reflect back on our work and hopefully for people to support the work that we do for 2026. So we are asking people during Connectmas to donate to us and to buy some of our products. So we have lots of actually we're nearly out of stock, but we have lots of products on our website that are Christmas related. So we have beautiful Christmas cards that have the Christmas robin on them and a lovely mental health promotion message. We have beautiful decorations for the Christmas tree that say hope, which obviously is a really strong message this time of year. And we have the coping with Christmas cards that are free to download as well. So it's just our way, I suppose, of marking a time. A lot of it, and I know we'll be talking about this, a lot of people around Christmas lean into the joy, and sometimes that creates expectations. Now, I love Christmas, right? I love it. But for everyone, no matter if you love it or don't love it, it can be a time of pressure. And Mental Health Ireland are trying to put things in place, I suppose, to support that, you know?
Yeah, it is a
Connectmas, because it's all about connection and people
it
find.
is.
Yeah, so Connectmas for us was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a lovely name, and it is about trying to connect with ourselves, with other people, whatever that might be. And you spoke there, and Killian, you might just speak to this. What ways can this time of year be challenging for people? What challenges do you think, or what do you see?
I suppose there's a lot of different things that come up around Christmas, loneliness, isolation, the lack of connection to other people, losses, whether it's relationship, job, bereavement as well, a range of different things. And I think it's hard to deal with those in the lead up to Christmas with the pressure that it brings as well, that it can be a very joyful time for a lot of people, but also very stressful. But looking at it in that way, I always use reflexive questions in the lead up to the Christmas time, especially if I'm not 100% feeling it. And I ask myself, what really matters to me this Christmas time or this Christmas period? And what can I do that'll make this Christmas a little bit better? There's things I can do in my own life that I can connect to people on a daily basis, connecting with myself, connecting with nature. But there's a range of different challenges that people face in the lead up and during Christmas, but it's just trying to mind ourselves and I suppose have our own expectations of what it looks like and what will bring the most contentment and joy for ourselves around this time. Because we're the, I suppose, the number one person in our own life, so we have to look after ourselves during the time and not to be overly stressed or give in to the so-called expectation of have this perfect Christmas, because it's individual and it's different for absolutely everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe, I mean, what ways do you think that it can be challenging for people?
Yeah, I suppose when I think about Christmas, I personally have had the most amazing Christmases, right? And I've had the worst Christmases. And for lots of different reasons. I've had amazing Christmases because I've had people around me, and I've had bad Christmases because I've had people around me. And I think I think there are so many reasons. I know looking back on my own Christmases when I was a child, we would have had some, the magic of Christmas was there, but we had a family bereavement. My brother died on New Year's Eve. So Christmas after Christmas, so the kind of week coming up to Christmas Eve was hard, and I used to see a change in my mom, and I used to find that hard, and you'd be kind of a bit anxious about that, even though Christmas Day would have been magic, or we had a family friends calling every Christmas morning. My mother used to get so, like, she used to fuss no end and dread that, and then the dinner. But there was magic moments and not so magic moments. And I know myself, it's a time where I've experienced really, really severe loneliness. And I think a point that we spoke about recently when we were chatting was, I felt really lonely in a room with people. And in a room with people that love me and people that I love. But Christmas can maybe highlight what you're missing in your life. And I think that that can be really tough. It's that time, it's kind of like Christmas is everything on steroids in a way. You're either experiencing things, really good things on a different level, or really bad things on a different level. And for me, yeah, so loneliness is a huge thing, and that grief. So it's a time of year, it's like birthdays or anniversaries. It's that time of year where people who've passed, or people that we've lost or that we miss them every day. But sometimes days like Christmas are the days that we miss them that little bit more. I also think as well, look, at different times, and I'm good at managing my finances, right? But when it comes to Christmas, you want to please. I have a child, you want to please people, and you want to buy presents, and you're thinking, you're looking at your bank account, and it might cause a little bit of stress, and you're dipping into your savings, and you're thinking, oh, January's a good time to book the holiday next year, but I've no money left in January. So I think the finances can be a tough one for people as well. And I think as Killian said as well, I thought it was really nice to say about your expectations as well. And I think we have to do that with our expectations about money and finances. And then another one for me would be around the overindulgence. Feeding my body all the things that my body is saying, feed me with, but then after it's like, why did you do that? The extra glass of wine, or the extra fist of, like, celebrations, or the pudding and the cream, and wanting it at the time, and then the next day feeling sluggish and desperate and kind of wishing I hadn't, and then having that little bit of guilt, which is just a cycle of what, why did I do that? Oh, I feel bad, I'm going to eat some more. So I can relate to a lot of the pressures of Christmas. I can also relate to a lot of, I mean, look, I think when you're in this work, we're lucky that we learn a lot of tools throughout the work that we do. Like, I've never delivered a workshop, I've never had a conversation where I haven't come away with something really solid and meaningful. I learn from my colleagues, from my friends, from the participants on programs all the time, which is amazing. So I've, for all of those pressures that I've experienced over my lifetime, it's not far from perfect, but I've managed to put some kind of coping mechanisms in place to manage some of those, not all of them. We always come up against, a firecracker,
Excuse me.
but that you're not expecting.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, point to the bereavement part, because I was actually caught unawares. My mother passed away 2 years ago, and prior to that, she had dementia. So it's a very long slow goodbye when your loved one has dementia. And the final goodbye can be a bit bittersweet, because it can be a relief as well as obviously quite sad. And I can be quite a stoic person, but I was like putting, doing Christmas stuff, whatever, and I just caught me unawares. The grief wave came over me, and I had to sit down and have a good cry. You know what I mean? And like she's been passed away 2 years, and you know, with a beautiful relationship, and she was a good age. You know, I have a lot of positives that I could take from that relationship, but it really caught me unawares. You know what I mean? Really, really, just all of a sudden. And sometimes, like, you know, I might respond, just say, "Don't put that, push that down now." You know what I mean? Not necessarily give
Yeah.
in to the feeling, but probably because I was on my own and no one else was around me, I decided to actually let myself feel it. You know. So, you know, I did, and I sat down, I had a good cry, and you know, and I miss her, you know, I miss her all the time. You know, and bereavement can be like that, and I think, you know, like that's my own experience, and it can be a really, really tough time for people. But like for me, like the bereavement, the loneliness can also be about people who are alive but are not here, you know. Like my nephew lives in another part of the world, you know, and he's just had a baby. So my sister, you know, the loneliness and the bereavement, the sadness of that. You know, it is really hard to bear, and it's a very hard space to be in, missing someone, but they're still actually around. You know, it's a
Yeah.
weird sort of feeling. But that bereavement part can be really, really challenging, can't it? And I think as well, you know, family dynamics can be challenging sometimes. And sometimes, you know, we're not in a good place, or people aren't in a good place with other family members. And it can be a Christmas can highlight that as well. And there can be a bit of sadness around family we'd like to have versus the family maybe we have, you know. So, you know, it's just so multi-layered, isn't it? Keeleen, what do you think about that in terms of bereavement and maybe even family connections and, you know, things like that?
Yeah, it was just to bring it back to what Joe was saying about it, like Christmas can highlight what you're missing and that can come to the fore as well, you know, and the reminders of people that were in our lives as well. Really, really difficult, you know. But I suppose what can we do? I always look at the opposite side of it. What can we do in the moment to look after ourselves as well? I remember at Christmas time, I was not in a good place in my own mental health, and I say I didn't even go out of the house too often to meet my friends because I just didn't want to. I just wanted to, I suppose, do my own thing and just, I suppose, be with, by myself and just with my family members. But I knew myself in the back of my own mind, this is not what Christmas is about. I need to at least make a little bit of connection with my friends who are maybe going out for coffee. And I made a conscious effort to do it once over the Christmas period. And that could be one piece of advice for someone. It could be the smallest step forward to meet a friend for coffee, to connect and share what you're feeling or what you're going through. Because to go through Christmas alone and not share what you're feel what you're going through, what you're feeling can be very difficult, and it could linger on till into January and into the following few months as well. So having maybe a trustworthy friend or family member or a service, whatever it looks like for the person to be able to share what's going on in their mind is really important. And that's what I did at that time. I was able to meet that friend for coffee and share a little bit of what was going on for me at that particular time. And it made all the difference for me to move forward and build a positive relationship for my own mental health and well-being. So I know the question was around what you asked, but I always like to spin on it of what can be done to help, you know, to help that situation as well. So I hope that makes sense, Claire.
It does absolutely make sense, and I think all of us understand as well that there's more than one way to connect with people. You know that
Yeah.
it can be like having the strength and the capability to get out and meet somebody face to face, excuse me, can sometimes be beyond people. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? But we can connect in other ways as well. You know, like modern technology at least has given us the spot, you know, it has many faults, of course it does, but it does give us the opportunity to connect in many ways. You know, we can use like, you know, text app, you know, we can video chat, you know, and different things like that. Like I know people who connect with people all over the world through their bedroom. And you know, it might be something that we might feel isn't ideal, but if that's how that person gets connection with other people in a way that makes them feel safe, in a way that doesn't make them feel exposed, but makes them feel supported, I think whatever way you can connect with people that's within your ability to do, then you know, try and do the connection, whatever way it might be. It might be over text, you know.
I think the connection with yourself is really important at times where you're struggling. And I know for me, first of all, that connection piece is kind of listening to my body and my mind, and it's a very busy time, you know. And sometimes for me, it's just going for a walk on my own with nobody else. Just time for me listening to a podcast. I do some arts and crafts around Christmas. And I was doing some last night. I was really busy. I stayed up later, but I felt so good because it was just me, nobody else. And it was like, you know, doing little things, but it was just me. I felt I was connecting in with myself, even my hands, because they were moving, and my thoughts, and I kind of slowed things down, and I feel a lot better today as a result of it. But I was so busy, I didn't really realize I needed that until after, if you know what I mean. And I do think quite often it's such a busy time for people. There's this busyness of like people calling to the house or going out for nights or meeting people for coffee and wrapping presents, doing all of those things. But sometimes a bit of time out can, it's like, giving a bit of energy to the batteries again. Like it can make a huge difference. Having a bath, taking a bit of time out. Like, I mean, I found myself the other day just saying to my family, I was like, right, I need time out. And I just closed the doors and sitting there and sat in a chair. Now, I only took about 6 or 7 minutes, but I was like, Jesus, there's a lot going on, and I just sat down for a couple of minutes and came back and I was grand. But I think it's about not kind of apologizing for that as well as just saying, you don't even have to announce it. I'm a big believer in you don't have to announce all your boundaries. You don't have to shout them from the rooftops. You can just slip them in, and just make them happen. But I do think, yeah, connection to yourself is important. And then the nature piece is really important as well. We're talking with some. Nature is powerful, right? Because it's bigger than ourselves. Like, nature is something we don't have control over, even though, people would say we're damaging it. But we, and quite often, even if you live in a city, you can put your head out a window and look up at the sky. And I really think that if we can lean into the power of nature, I think that it's a huge time around times of stress and times of anxiety or busyness. And I know I do it a good bit. I've had definitely had moments in my own life where I've really struggled. And I think I was telling both of you about a time that I had had an operation. I was really struggling after it. I'd had a hole in the roof of my mouth. I was waiting on a biopsy result. I was tired after the operation itself and all of that, and I was just wrecked. And a friend of mine said, "Have you been walking?" I was like, "No, I can't do anything." And she said, "Maybe go for a walk." And I went up to the forest, the locally, and I felt like someone had pressed an on button on the way home. It was unbelievable. I remember thinking, "I forgot about the power of that." And it was just a bit of time out. Bit of nature, things are bigger than myself. Forgot about the roof, the roof of my mouth. Forgot about the biopsy, just for like 15 minutes. And I remember thinking, God, so I was up every day then for a while. But just that piece of that, what's bigger than ourselves, that we can connect into that can support us as well,
Good to come in there, Joe. Just I really like what you're talking about, the connection to yourself. Because I consciously get up early just to have that quiet time before the house, other people in the house wakes up, my daughter as well. It's just nice to have that downtime. Like I journal first thing in the morning, whatever's in my mind, just offload onto paper. And that can be really nice if you don't have someone to talk to at a particular time, that you can offload your thoughts, feelings, emotions, whatever it looks like for the person. And the connection to nature is absolutely powerful as well, like you're saying as well. It really, like I go to I'm lucky that I live near the coast in Clare and Tullahinch and Spanish Point, so that sea breeze can do you the world of good. And especially around the weather isn't the best at the moment, but would be a bit blustery, but yeah, it's lovely to do that. And just to connect to yourself and the connection to nature is really, really powerful.
I mean, we're all sharing tips and things, and it's great to, because it can be a challenging time and everyone is so different, and what their Christmas or the holidays is going to look like is quite different. One thing that I can sometimes be challenged with, like, we're lucky that we'll have some time off, in it with our, with the employment that we have, so we're really lucky to have that. But I struggle then with the lack of routine, so my job tends to give me a routine. So Monday to Friday, and then, so that gives me that. So then I have a period of time where I don't have this routine. So then I struggle with it, and I find when I don't have a routine, and my kids are like, my youngest is like 21, so I don't have babies to be looking after or anything anymore either. So, I struggle with that. So I really have to, like you were saying, Kenan, I have to start to think about what do I want to do. I have to make plans for myself. I'm reaching out to people saying, do you want to meet and go for coffee and a walk, and while we're off and things like that. Because if I don't, I find I'm almost like a ship without a rudder. It's like, what do I do with myself, Now I could absolutely sit on the couch and watch reality TV and eat biscuits all day, but I know if I do that, one day I'll definitely do that. But I know if I do that every day, I feel like absolute shit. You know what I mean? Not just physically, but mentally, I won't feel good. I need the stimulation, I need the challenges. So I just like make plans. So I find if I make plans with other people, if I'm arranging to meet other people, and I'm more likely to do it. Whereas if I do something where I'm just starting meeting myself or I'm not doing stuff for myself, sometimes it can be a real challenge. Whereas if I'm involving other people, like I go to a gym to work out because if I booked it in and I paid for it, I'm more likely to go. Whereas if I say to myself I'm going to work out at home, it doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It gets put in the long finger, the long finger, the long finger. So, I find that a tool for me is making plans with other people to make sure that I get out and about and I can get some sort of routine, get a bit of physical exercise in, get a bit of nature in, get a bit of connection in. You know what I mean? All those things that we're sort of talking about. So what other tools or supports would you think? I mean, if we think about, the sort of loneliness and the bereavement and the challenges and everything else, what other tools or tips would you give for people that they could use to support themselves throughout the holiday period?
For me, we have a tool on our website and on our resources page, and it's the I Can Control. And I refer to that a lot. Okay. And it's simply framing for people what you can control. So what is in my control and what is not in my control? And I think when you frame something like that and think about it in that way, it's very empowering, right? So you might start with oh, sure, I've no choice in any of this. But if you drill down into it, you probably have more choice than you think you have, which is really hopeful and empowering. So, like for example, for example, it's a Christmas day. Just take the day, right? It's a really busy day. What do I have control over, right? Well, I don't have control over the reactions of any of my family of the gifts I give them, that they love them or don't love them, right? But I do have control in my expectations of that, So I can be like, well, if I bought that for him and he doesn't love it, then instead of being like, oh, he must love it, and putting, so I have that. In relation to my body, like I'd be like, oh, I'm just gonna have a big dinner and I'm not gonna move my body today. And I'm thinking, well, actually, I can carve out 45 minutes and go for a walk in the morning before we go to my sister's for dinner. And before I have the shower and do all that. So I actually have control over that. And I can have that conversation the day before and say, listen, when we get up in the morning, Santa will have been, we don't have to go to Kathy's until 1. So I'm going to try to get a walk in because we'll have a mass the night before, whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's that. I have control over us. If it doesn't happen, okay, if for some reason, but at least I can plan it and I have control over that. I also have control over maybe not looking at socials if there's people in my life that are maybe no longer in my life. And I've been up against that recently where there was someone very strong in my life who isn't in my life anymore. So sometimes it's a case of not looking at socials to see how their Christmas is going, because that can be really triggering for me. And I have control over that.
Well, you can block them.
Absolutely. And I have control over, I block them, I'm blocking everyone.
Yeah, block them all.
But like, I have control over whether I send a text or whether I'll mute my texts. Or so I think for me, the first time I did that exercise when I sat down, and it's lovely because it's just a couple of circles, and in some things are out of my control and some things are in my control. And when I wrote that down, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, because there's loads of things in my control. There's more than I thought. Yeah, I remember stepping away from that the first time, thinking, geez, this is great. It's so simple. But for me, it's a tool that I often think about. Is this in my control? Yeah, this is in my control. Or if it's not in my control, how can I manage it if I have to be,
What about yourself, Killian?
I talked about journaling earlier on, so this one is called, it's gratitude journaling, I suppose you're going to call it. So it's another resource on the Mental Health Ireland website as well, and it's a lovely thing to do really in the moment. So it's a worksheet online, and it's like, the best part of my day was dot dot dot, three good things that happened today, people I'm grateful for, three things I'm grateful for today, and tomorrow I look forward to dot dot dot. So you fill in the blanks or whatever it looks like for the person. And I think I kind of do gratitude, or write it down like a couple of things every couple of days, and it just reframes and makes you appreciate what's going on around you a lot of the time, because we can be so busy and our minds can be so busy with different things. But it gives me a like a step back to actually realize God, there's a lot of good things happening in my life. And another thing I use often is I call them glimmer moments, and they are the little pieces of joy in the day. And this could be the tiniest thing ever, like a nice cup of coffee, a smile from someone in the shop or something like that. Just those glimmer moments that, you feel good after them, or you feel a bit of appreciation or something like that. So gratitude and the glimmer moments are my go-to when I'm not feeling 100%. And it just kind of reframes your mind that, God, there's actually some good things happening in my day or my week or whatever it looks like.
Love
Love
I
the
love
glimmer moments. Oh my
I
God.
love
Yeah.
glimmer moment. I'm going to be using that now
Yeah,
in
me
music. That
too.
was a glimmer moment
Me
now.
too.
That's I love that. And one thing that I like to try and do as well, and it can be a tip I think as well, is volunteer in some way. There's so many organizations and it could be down on staff or there's loads of charity dips. Like I know there'll be charity dips in County Clare, definitely West Clare, there'll be charity dips in Galway, there'll be charity dips in Donegal, anywhere along the coastline in Cork, Waterford, Dublin. There's going to be charity dips organized, and with a simple search you could probably find where one is on your area. Now, what I would recommend, you don't actually have to go for the dip, you know what I mean? But it can be a nice way to connect with people in your community. You could reach out to them, ask them, can you help out? You know what I mean? Can you bring along a cup of tea? Can you bring along a bit of break? Whatever. Whatever it might be. Maybe you might decide, actually, do you know what? I've always wanted to try doing the dip, so maybe I'm actually going to go and give it a go. But there are loads of other things, like there's walks on, Parkrun always do walks and run, not maybe on the day, but like around the days of Christmas, there's usually like different walks or runs or different things on. And organizations like that are quite often looking for people to support in some way. So volunteering is a great way to spend time over the Christmas period as well. It's a great way to connect with other people, get a person out of the house, you're meeting new people. And what it does then for me anyway is it makes me feel so good about myself because I feel I'm giving back a bit of something. Like I'm very privileged in my life. Christmas is a happy time for me. And I know I'm very lucky to feel like that. And my entire family were very, very lucky. So I want to feel that I want to give back in some sort of way as well. So I try and donate where I can, but absolutely then volunteering in some way, like the local family resource centre, the local community centre. There's loads of things that could be going on. Or even Joe going online and seeing what's happening and in ways that you can donate time or something else. Like even sometimes there's loads of petitions online. You could do it from your own home. You can just send in a couple of petitions and add your name to help support a cause that maybe you believe in. One thing that occurs to me as well is boundaries can be really, really challenging on Christmas time, can't they? All sorts of boundaries that we might have, they can be really, really challenged. And one thing that can be challenging for me is around that idea, my own boundaries around, the people that I'm going to let into my life, you know what I mean, or the people that I'm going to let affect me. Now, I've learned, I'm 57 now, so I've gotten pretty good boundaries. I've worked really hard on them, worked really, really hard on them. So I have really good boundaries now. But I do remember a time when a simple comment or something could set me off on a self-loathing spiral. That doesn't happen to me anymore, thankfully. But at the same time, it used to happen to me. So I'd love to know your thoughts around how could a person set a sort of boundaries for themselves, whether it's around their time, around how people are going to speak to them. Like Joe, you spoke to, how people can comment on, when we're thinking about food and everything else that can happen. Yeah. What would your support or tips for that would be? I was sharing with you guys that I saw a really lovely Instagram post from an Instagram influencer, and she spoke about leading with kindness, right? And she was speaking particularly, and it really resonated with me. She was talking particularly about the mean comments that people make at Christmas, particularly around people's eating habits. And she said that it can really hit hard for some people that if you're commenting on how they're looking, what they're wearing, what's on their plate, what's not on their plate. It really hit home to me. And I thought that's a really nice way of thinking about it, is that you lead with kindness, but also that you set a boundary. So that if you're worried that someone, like, first of all, like, look, it's easy for me to say, but like, what business is it of anyone's what's on my plate, you know? But people, particularly family members or people that are close to us, feel that it is their business. And we can make flippant comments, and often they come from a place of insecurity, but we can make flippant comments and they can hit hard. But if you are expecting a comment, or if you know of somebody, it's about setting that boundary first and leading with kindness yourself. So kind of going in and saying, I'm really worried you're going to comment on what I'm eating. But I'm really trying my best. I've had a really good couple of weeks, but I'm just going to let loose today, and say, so I really appreciate if you wouldn't say anything, right? And I would say 98% of people would be like, God, God, sorry, I didn't realize that would have upset you or whatever. But I thought what I really liked about what she said was, if you lead with kindness, you probably get kindness back. And I think that that's again what you have in your control. You may not be able to control someone saying something to you, but you certainly can control you having a boundary or mentioning that to them, And look, there's a thing I often think about, radiators and drains, and different people radiate with different people and different people drain different people. And I might drain somebody and then I might go into another room and that person radiates around me, But it is about knowing who radiates around you and who you radiate around and trying to gravitate towards those people and staying away from the drains, because we're never going to be everyone's cup of tea. So there are going to be people in your life, be it family members, friends, neighbors, community people, whoever it is, colleagues, and you can set your boundaries with them. Again, I said it already, I'm a big believer. I don't think you have to announce all your boundaries. I think sometimes when someone says, I've decided, it's like that years ago, people would say, I've decided I'm culling my Facebook friends, you're out. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. You just could have just unfriended me. You didn't have to tell me. I wouldn't have known. But you don't have to. And I think you can set yourself some silent boundaries and stick to them yourself. Killian, you made a point sometimes of writing things down or you're journaling. I do think you're more committed. And I know there's research to show that when you write things down, it changes your thinking as well, because you're physically using your hand to do that. So I think writing some of those boundaries down, maybe holding them tight and doing them yourself. And then in some cases it is about having them vocal, saying, I'm not doing this today, guys. I'm not doing this today,
What do you think, Killian? Add to
Yeah,
that.
I think Joe absolutely hit the nail on the head with everything there, to be honest. I don't know what more I can add, but leading with kindness is it's such a nice way to do it, because again, you'll get kindness back, but you're being open and transparent about how you're feeling as well. And yeah, it'll make life easier if you are going to an event or a dinner or whatever it may be. If you're saying how you feel and lead with kindness and say, I'm going to do whatever today and just please be nice to me or whatever that phrase is, look, whatever that'll sound like. But yeah, I love it. And then the journaling that you're saying, Joe, it just gives you clarity. Your mind can be so busy if you're writing stuff down, if there are boundaries that you want to stick to as well, if you're writing them down and have them close to you and refer back to them as well. At least you know you're on the right track as well if you're putting your boundaries down on paper or that. So yeah, that's
I don't know if this is related, but I'm thinking about this now as well. I'm a diver for ruminating, right? So I get a thought, right? My mind is like a washing machine. It just goes around and round and round, and it actually gathers dust, right? And all the flint comes and all the stuff, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the problem gets bigger. And I've learned to focus in. So if I'm worried about a certain time, say around Christmas, and I'm worried about something, right? I've already had to do this, right, in relation to a visit with somebody, right, in my life. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do it, okay, right? And that's not a big deal. But I was like thinking about all the things that could happen, all the negative things that happened in the past, and why should I, and all this. And it was just growing, 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 growing. So what I did was I slowed it down and thought about the positives. Now, I know that that's not always an easy thing. I've had moments in my life where I can't. The positive just cannot pierce in at all because the negatives are a big wall, right? But if you can at all, it's like trying to lean into the good times and lean into the times that, or what the possibilities of the good possibilities, and also lean into I can step away, or that's only for 40 minutes, and instead of building it up and building it up, I think a lot about my thoughts. And I control my thoughts. And my thoughts for so much of my life have led me. They have brought me in such directions because they're my thoughts. And I thought that that was what I was supposed to do because my thoughts told me that. And then I realized that, hang on, through CBT, I was like, hang on, that's just a thought. So just note it and other things can happen and you can change your thoughts. So I do that in relation to some of my struggles around Christmas. I do that in relation to, if it's time-wise, I had to do that. I changed tactic recently on some of my arts and crafts. I didn't have time to make because I was sick last week. So I was like, no, change tactic. because my thoughts were like, no, you're never going to get this. They're going to be terrible. And it's not going. I was like, hang on, slow it down, bring it back, change direction. What can you do? And this is, I mean, if anyone climbed into my brain, like what they'd see,
Oh.
all the little chats or whatever. My partner has said that to me. He was like, I would not like to go in there. I was like, no,
Yeah.
no one would, you know, no one would. Very complex. But I do think it's that power thing, and we can set that ourselves. And I think if this
Yeah.
is here, we have to be so much more on top of those things, because there are, like, you could be, I don't know, in the middle of cooking dinner and someone just lands at your door, you know, because it's Christmas and they just want to call in for a drink, and you're like, hang on, I have everything timed, and now you have to call in, and everything could go to, you know, you don't have time to, you know, wrap a present or whatever it is. It's just like, hang on now, let's just reassess here.
Yeah.
And just to come in there on that, Joe, what you're saying about ruminating, I'm the king of that as well at times. But a positive spin on it is, like, for ruminating, I'll ask myself, what if everything works out for the best? So I'll flip it around, as in, like, you know, what if I just go to the event and everything works out for the best, and all my overthinking is goes out the window, because I spent
That's
so much
lovely.
time and everything, actually everything went great, or everything went fine. So that's what I
Yeah.
use a lot of the time. So what if everything works out for the best, is what I'd ask myself. And just, it reframes your mind again to look at the positive things.
Yeah, that's
Yeah. And I do think, like, it can be, you know, absolutely, in terms of thinking about where we're going, and I hope no one is so rude as just to drop into my house unannounced, because I'm really I'm just
Okay,
like,
note to self,
I'm
note to self.
not that type out. No, if you give me a text warning, absolutely. You know, and look, I'm half in jest, okay, just half in jest, because I'm generally going around like a bit of a slob, do you know what I mean? So I sort of need the time to find clothes, especially over Christmas time. But anyway, I'm just going to, so before we get busy, we are going to share, like, I mean, you know, there's lots of things a person can do to look after themselves, and we're going to share again some resources that people can, you know, can tap into, you know, to learn a bit more if they want to, you know, in a few minutes. But I suppose before we get stuck into that, maybe can I ask you, is there like one thing you have that's your favorite thing about this time of year? Do you want to start with you, Killian? Go on. Or do you want a minute to think about it?
No, I'll go first. It is the connection with family and friends, you know, maybe friends that I haven't seen or are abroad and that might be home for the Christmas period as well, and just to reconnect with them as well. And family members, my mother always makes a huge dinner, which is lovely, with all the family members as well. So that's something to look forward to as well, and just nieces and nephews and whatever else. And yeah, it's all positive. My own daughter as well, she'll be 2.5, so yeah, it's all nice time for her as well. And she's lovely age to coming into this Christmas as well. So yeah, it's all good. I'm looking forward to this year, and it should be good. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How about you, Joe?
Oh God, Claire.
Everything,
Oh
everything.
my, like, yeah. Look, I love Christmas. The first thing that came to my mind, so I go with that, like, it's 100 things, right? Is the fire on, the Christmas tree lights on, a film like Elf, and some chocolate. Because it's
Lovely.
so simple. My body, I'm a busy person. I like being busy. That's my nature. But a Christmas for me allows time just to kind of rest the body as well. Now I get out and I go for really long walks, which is fabulous, but I'm not working then, so I do get to rest my body. And I love it, because when I imagine myself in the sitting room on the couch, I'm not on my own. You know, my partner's there, my son is there having a cuddle, and very much family time. My brother spends Christmas with us, and we just love having him, my brother Jim, and we really connect. It's so nice. And then we go to my other sister's house. I also love a sneaky pint of Guinness in the afternoon, just one, on Stephen's Day or the day after, just one. That's enough. Because I don't have Guinness too often. And but yeah, those kind of things. And I love giving. I just love it. I make decorations for people, and I love doing it, because I make them with love, and I love giving them to people. And I get people text me when they're putting the Christmas tree up quite often and say, do you recognize any of these on the Christmas tree? Because I've been giving to my friends and family every year. So when they are decorating the Christmas tree, they think of the relationship we have, and there's that connection.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it's
lovely.
every time of year. It used to be very jazz hands for me, like, hey everyone, it's Christmas time. But it's a lot more real for me now, as I hope I'm emotionally more mature than I was. But it's a lot more real, and I understand what's important to me, and my family are important to me. We still have our mom with us, you know, mom is 90, and I was down with her last night, and she's coming to Christmas dinner with us. And I just think that we are so privileged, and I feel so privileged that she's going to be sitting around the table with us. And every year for the last 10 years, we've said this could be the last Christmas with Mammy. I'm like, it's hard to get rid of a bad smell. That one is going to give.
He doesn't want her yet. We used to say that to my mother. She'd say, "Ah, if God spares me, you say, see you next time if God spares me." Say, he obviously doesn't want you yet, Mammy. She's still around,
But it's
But
lovely. I think my aunt is joining us this year as well, actually, and she's never done Christmas with us. She turned 80 recently, and she lives on her own, and we're just excited to have her. And look, it is about leaning into those positives, and just for me, it's a chance to catch up with myself, and just to, you know what I absolutely love? Potato sandwich. Or
Ooh.
a toasted cheese sandwich on Stephen's Day. It's not the big things, lads. It's for me anyway, it's the simple.
No.
It's the
It's
time.
the leftover turkey and ham sandwich or whatever else with
Yeah.
potatoes in it and everything else.
Ice and hash and mayonnaise and or whatever. If it doesn't rain, if it's a little bit cold and it's crisp weather and it's getting out and going for a walk and it's watching my little guy. He asks Santa for Ferrero Rocher, and he doesn't have huge needs. And seeing the Ferrero Rocher, and he's like, "I got Ferrero Rocher." Like, it's just simple, 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 simple,
That's so lovely. And look, I feel the same because as much as I love giving as well, and I love when we like having holidays like this or having events like this, for me, it's a great opportunity to see family, because we're all busy, you know what I mean? And we mightn't see each other as often as we might like. But it's a nice time to just like all my family will come to me now Christmas morning for breakfast. We alternate this. We used to all go to my mum's house, but obviously she's no longer there and the house is no longer there. So, we all take a turn. So I'm hosting them this year. And it's just a lovely opportunity to be with them. I could sit down in a room and not be part of any conversations and just like being there with them. And the same at my other family, I always have a glass of Baileys in recognition of my Uncle George, who we were very close to. And the only time he drank was at Christmas because he'd have a couple of glasses of Baileys, So, things like that, just reminiscing and, how lucky we are and everything else as well. But listen, we're going to nearly come to a little bit of a close now, and I think we've shared a lot of bits and pieces, which is really lovely, and I really enjoyed the chat. But Joe, do you want to just because the work we try and do in mental health, we try to do provide opportunities for people to learn maybe a bit about their own mental health and their well-being and how they can support themselves. So do you want to just speak to that part of the Connect With Us campaign where people can support us if they'd like to?
I suppose, this is one of the things where we're trying to share information and resources, but for us to do our work, at the end of the day, we're a charity, and sometimes it's very hard to say, can you help us? Can you support us? Now, we are really lucky. We have a lot of people who organize and run fundraising events for us. We have a lot of people who donate to us. And that money goes back into programs that we're able to run or developing resources. That program, we have an amazing campaign called Hello, How Are You, which starts meaningful conversations. And it's very much about tackling loneliness, isolation, giving opportunities for connection. And that happens in May. Claire's the lead on that. So, the money that we get can support us to deliver programs like that. We have lots of literature and resources on our website that are free to download, if people want copies, a number of copies, they pay a nominal amount. But if you want a single copy, we do that for free on topics like stress, anxiety, menopause, caring for families. So we're really trying to support people, but again, that all costs money. So there's lots of different ways that people can support our work. Throughout the year, we do have some volunteering opportunities, which we're currently working on. But the main way people can support our work at the moment is by organizing a fundraising event, because when you organize an event, you not just raise money for us, but you also highlight mental health. Because I often think if you're wearing the Mental Health Ireland t-shirt, people are like, oh, who are you raising that money for? And what do they do? And it starts a really good conversation and supports that kind of conversation about mental health, the health piece as well of mental health. And then the other way, so people can do that, so they can organize a walk, a run, a climb up a mountain, eat 50 mince pies, whatever you decide to do. And then donate the money, raise the money for us through I Donate, and you can contact us on fundraising@mentalhealthireland.ie, or you can simply donate directly to us. So individual donations, as I say, that money goes back into the resources and all of the programs that we run. And just to say, if you do want to donate to us, the it's bit.ly slash donate MHI. So MHI for Mental Health Ireland. So it's bit.ly slash donation MHI, or just go on to our website. I would really recommend people go onto our website to find out
Yeah.
the work that we do. I think Killian's going to talk a bit more about that now. But you know, we do a huge amount of work. Like, look, you can tell, you can tell how passionate I am about the work, and you can obviously tell, like, Killian and Claire, you're living it. Like, we're all really lucky that we're all living this, you know, in the sense that we were passionate about mental health promotion. The work that Mental Health Ireland do, we do make a difference, you know. This is a job, it's not a vocation, but I think we're all in it because we can see the difference that we're making, the programs people are participating in, the information that people are receiving from the work that we're doing is breaking down barriers to conversations, informing people, giving people new and informed skills. We're using evidence base, we're linking with national organizations, we're linking with the HSC education facilities. So the work we're doing is solid. And I suppose I just hope that from today's podcast that someone has taken away just one thing. But please go on
Yeah.
to our website, mentalhealthireland.ie, and check out our resources. There's so much there, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah, Killian, do you want to add to that? Because like the work you do is regional, you know, like, you know, Joe and I work in a natural capacity. So, you know, the translation of what we're trying to support, you know, can you just speak to that for just 1 minute in terms of how that translates regionally,
Yeah,
locally?
so yeah, 100%. So I, like I was saying at the start, I cover Clare, Limerick and North Tipperary. But just in the last year, the workshops around the 5 ways to well-being, the talks and the step one, engage with mental health and the 5 ways to well-being model has just been so nice and so empowering for not just myself, for the participants as well, to learn about mental health, the educational piece around it, that they can take some tips and tools, not just for myself, but from the shared learning in the room as well. And that's the empowerment piece that people can take on board. And it's outside the workshop that they might implement something. It's the practical application that people can do in their own time around mental health. And even the feedback that you get, just it gives you a buzz. You know, it just gives you that boost that you're doing the great work from all of us, I suppose, from the training department, or from getting the slides, the workshops, everything else, to deliver it on the ground. It means so much to people who attend. And like, as a facilitator, I'm enjoying the process because I get to see what the positive feedback is. But there's a whole cycle of all of us working together to make these workshops and talks happen. But all the information is on the website, mentalhealthireland.ie. And if anyone wants to email me around the workshops or the talks around the Midwest, killian@mentalhealthireland.ie is my email if anyone wants to follow up. But yeah, and just like Joe mentioned, the Hello, Where Are You campaign, another positive one. I could go on. I have another 20
Yeah,
minutes there.
I
Keep
know. I think
talking.
we could all go on, but we do have to bring it to a close. And I just want to like the resources we refer to. There's a lot of free resources on our website that you can download, you can watch, you can listen to, you can read. You know, there's loads there. And it's a bit.ly as well. So it's bit.ly/resources MHI, or just go on to mentalhealthireland.ie and you'll see the resources page and the shop page as well. You know, the shop is another way that you can support us, but we're here to support as much as we can as well. And those resources are there free for you to use. So please do use them. You can find all of our contact information on our website as well. So if you want to contact any one of us, our email addresses are there and our phone numbers are there as well. So do use that as well if you feel, you know, that we can work together in some way. So listen, I'm sorry, we do have to bring it to a close. I mean, I could chat all day. You know, and we were very lucky that we've had just a lovely conversation. But you know, highlighting obviously, you know, there can be a very, very challenging time, but there are things that each of us can do individually to support ourselves the best way possible if it's going to be challenging for any sort of reasons over the next couple of weeks. So can I just say, Joe, thank you so much. Killian, thank you so much. I've had a really, really good chat. And any final thoughts then before we say goodbye?
Yeah, well, I just want to wish everyone a happy Christmas. I'm going to see
Yeah.
you guys next week, so I want to wish you happy Christmas. But anyone who's listening in, and just to, I suppose, remind people, just to remind yourself about what you have control over. If you're challenged, just think about, do I have control over this? And if you do, then you have the opportunity to change it.
Perfect, perfect. And Killian?
Yeah, it's just around this time, just be kind to yourself, have self-compassion that you're doing the best you can, and yeah, enjoy the Christmas, whatever that looks like again for yourself. So yeah, thanks, Claire, and thanks
Yeah.
again for this opportunity to talk around coping with Christmas. Yeah, thanks a
Yeah.
lot.
And I'm going to use Killian's word glimmer, and I advise us all to try and find the little glimmers, you know, over the next couple of weeks, because hopefully there'll be loads of them for us. Thank you very
Yeah.
much. Happy Christmas, everybody. We hope it's a peaceful, lovely one, and you find everything that you need out of it. But do reach out for support if you feel that you need it as well. There is support available to you, and you can find more information on that on our website as well. So thank you, everybody. As I said, have a lovely Christmas. Take care.
Well.